signs someone is not word conscious. They discuss their warfare instead of the promise of victory. They discuss doubt instead of faith in God. Their focus is their enemy instead of their comforter. If the word of God were dominating their mind, it would dominate their mouth. If the word dominated their mind, it would influence their conduct and behavior. And then the tongue is the only tool that grows sharper with constant use. And then here's just a little, if your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care: to whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how and when and where. Just some things to make you go, Well, I'm so glad you're here tonight, and we are going to receive some refreshing. How do I know that? Because the Word is here, the Holy Ghost is here, and the Lord is here, and you're here. And when all that comes together, something's got to give. Amen? So if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, there are things that God wants us to have. And He has put everything that we need within our reach. Say, within my reach. So everything that we need from God is right there. But I want to talk to you tonight about how to receive from God. Amen? There's things that we're believing for. There's things that we're hoping for. There's things that we're looking for. And we got to know how to receive, how to benefit. They're there, but how do I get them to me? Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and maybe next week, however the Lord leads. You know, I never run out of ammunition. I'm fully loaded. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, "Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God." Okay, I'm going to read this in a couple of translations. King James says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things," say no, "that are freely given to us." Did he say freely? You got to understand something about God. He loves to give. Giving thrills him. Amen? God is a giver. For God so loved the world, he what? He gave. You will find no one who gives as good as God. And when you have a nature, when you have the nature of the Father in you, you become a giver just like Him. Amen? All right? The New Living Translation says, "And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us." You know, to know doesn't just mean to have knowledge of. It means to experience. Amen? A husband and a wife, they can know each other. What does that mean? They experience each other. All right? There's a connection. It's more than just having a knowledge of. All right? But it's experiencing it. This is the NIV. "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Notice, he has freely given us. Not going to. Not will give. Already has. Well then, if he gave it to me, how come I don't have it? That's what we're talking about. I'm glad you asked that question. We got to work on our receiving part. God doesn't have to work on the giving part. Everything that we need is already there. All right? It would be like if I took you car shopping. And I'll use Herb for an example. You know, I'll say, Herb, why don't you check out this car? You know, how does it feel? How does it drive? Well, Herb, that's your car. That's my car? Awesome. See? He had access to it, all right? And once he realized that it was his, now he can take full possession of that car. He can receive. The Spirit is given to us that we might know what is freely given to us. There are so many people in the world that don't know what they already have. Partly because they're not in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. All right? He is the master. I like to say it this way. The Holy Ghost is God's transfer agent. All right? When you purchase a piece of property, you know, it gets transferred into your name, right? And you normally have to sign a lot of things. You know, you have to sign your name here and there and everywhere. And there's a process by which that property gets transferred into your name. And usually it's done by a transfer agent. You know, with houses, it's a realtor. They go between and they help aid the transfer so that you can get possession of that. All right? See, now God, he transfers things by revelation. All right? The Bible says without a vision, but you can also say without a revelation, people perish. What you don't know can hurt you. Because if you don't know it, you can't benefit from it. Right? If you didn't know that you had $10,000 lying in your house in a coffee can somewhere, and you had a bill and you could get very frantic, but even though you have that there, but you didn't know it. Let me ask you this question. Can you drive your car if you don't know where your keys are? You ever lost your keys? Don't raise your hands. Because I'd have to raise both hands. I have lost my keys and I'm frantic because I got to go somewhere, but I don't know where my keys are, so I'm not getting anywhere. So what you don't know can hurt you. So the Holy Spirit is your transfer agent. He helps you seal the deal. Okay? He helps you possess your inheritance. The Holy Spirit, he helps you. He communicates to you and he shows you what is yours. It would be like going through a department store. You know, for ladies who are going to get married, what do? They go to a store and they register. They mark down things that they want to have, all right? They let people know what they would like, and then guess what? People go to that store and they make purchases on behalf of that person, and lo and behold, when you open the box, hey, this is what I wanted. Hey, this, oh, I didn't want that. But do you understand? It helps people when purchasing a gift for you to know what you want. And see, there's no one who knows you like the Holy Spirit. He knows you through and through. He created you. Matter of fact, God breathed his breath into you and you became a living soul. All right? Go with me to John chapter 16. I'm excited about tonight. I'm telling you. You may have come in here empty, but you're leaving a receiver. Say, I've come to get my stuff, and I'm not leaving empty-handed. John chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. Well, begin with verse 12. All right? Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he tells them this. He said, I have yet many things to say to you. Say many things. But you cannot bear them now. God has got so much to give you. If he was to give it to you all in one load, you wouldn't be able to handle it. It would be too much. David, in Psalm 23, wrote, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Well, doesn't God know how much is in the cup? Then why is he causing it to run over? Because that's the kind of God he is. He's a too much God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Say that with me. Say, exceedingly, abundantly, above. Above what? All that you could ask or think. Now, if we all combined things that we could ask for and things that we can think of just in this room, how many things do you think we could come up with? Quite a few. And God is able to exceed all of that. He's a too much God. Okay? So notice what he says here. Have to keep my place. Okay. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Say all truth. Hey, guess what? When you come to know the Lord, you are just in the beginning stages. Someone who comes to know the Lord for the first time, they're called a baby. And just like a baby grows, it develops, it changes. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to bring you into all truth. So that tells me that there's more truth for us to get into. There's more things for us to discover. There's more treasures for us to find. There's more goodies. There's more candy in the candy store. There's more lemonade in the pitcher, however you want to look at it. There's more pizza in the box. There's more fruit in the fridge. However you want to look at it. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you. What does a guide do? A guide takes you through somewhere and points out things. See, what God's Holy Spirit does is he takes you through the Word and he points things out to you. And he says, you know what? This is yours. You know, it's mine? Oh, wow, cool. Did you know that God gives you the keys to the kingdom? He does. He gives you, the Bible says in Luke, it's your Father's good pleasure. Say good pleasure. To give you the keys to the kingdom. Here's the keys to the kingdom. Go have a good time. But be back before 10. Think about it. God gives you the keys to the kingdom. What do the keys represent? They represent authority. It represents favor. It represents trust. All right? Whew, help me, Holy Spirit. Now, he'll bring you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Say, show me things to come. That means you haven't seen it all yet. You haven't done it all yet. You haven't become it all yet. There's more things for you to experience. There's more things for you to see. There's more things for you to know. This is all about how we receive from God. Okay? Now notice verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. You know, your Father is glorified when you receive what's yours. He said he will glorify me when he takes of mine and shows it to you. That's called revelation. When you see something in the Word that you never saw before, that's a revelation. That's something for you to do, something for you to become, someplace for you to go, something for you to have. He will glorify me. How's he going to glorify me? For he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it to you. He's going to show you some things. Why is he going to show you things? So that you can have it, so that you can experience it, so that you can know it. See, he's got to show you because he knows how the kingdom works. We don't. We're learning. We're learning how the kingdom works. It's a big kingdom. There's a lot of promises in this book. I don't know, several thousand promises. Is everybody here walking in all the promises? Then there's promises for you to still experience and walk in, right? Well, who's going to show you? The Holy Spirit's going to show you. He's going to give you a guided tour. He's going to point things out. He's going to show them. He's going to take what's the Lord's and he's going to give it to you. My goodness. Notice verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Talking about the Lord. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to who? To me. It's okay to say me. Say, I've come to get my stuff, and I'm not leaving empty-handed. You're here tonight by a divine destiny. Because God wants you to experience a whole lot more than what we are experiencing presently and currently. There's much, 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 much more. And it gets better and better as every day goes by. You know, I've been with the Lord now 27 years, and I'm still learning things. He's still showing me things. He's still taking me to places that I've never been. He's still helping me to do things I've never done. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. That's exciting. It would take, you know, that's why in Ephesians, God says it's going to take ages, ages to show you just how good he is. It's going to take ages. That's why we're going to have a glorified body and we're going to be able to hang with the Lord. We're going to still be learning things. He's still going to be showing you things. The learning never stops. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 32. Are you with me so far? We're going to walk out of here receiving some things. You don't have to do without. You don't have to beg. Say, I'm not a beggar. It doesn't take any faith to beg. Let me say that again. It doesn't take any faith to beg. You're not a beggar. All right? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, is he for you? Absolutely. Then who can be against you? All right? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Verse 32. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us some things? All. You know what the Bible says when it says all? All. Let me read that again. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son. Did God hold any expense in saving the world? No. He gave Jesus. How many sons did he have? He had one. All right? Did Jesus put up a fight for giving his life? No, he said, you don't take my life. I lay it down. He said, I give my life a ransom for many. So if God is not going to withhold his only son, Why should he withhold joy? Why should he withhold peace? Why should he withhold prosperity? Why should he withhold goodness? Why should he withhold comfort? Why should he withhold counsel? He shall, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all things? I want all. And I'm not just talking about the laundry detergent. I want what the Word says I can have. I want to do what the Word says I can do. I want to be what the Word says I can be. I want to find my identity in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us find all these things out so that we can experience them. Why else would God give us a personal comfort, another comforter, one just like him with the same nature, if he didn't want us to know things? Right now, the Holy Spirit, he's omnipresent. He can be in anybody, everywhere at the same time. He's not held to limits. But now there's some places that we would like to go that he doesn't want to go. But that's another story. All right, let's go back up to verse 29. Okay? For those whom he foreknew. How many know God knows the beginning before the end, or the end before the beginning? Did you know that God knew how Pharaoh would react when Moses was sent to Egypt? God told Moses, he said, he's going to harden his heart, and I'm going to have to perform signs and wonders and miracles and do a mighty deliverance. He knew ahead of time how Pharaoh was going to react. All right? So the foreknowledge of God, whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning. Say, I have a destiny. He knew you. He knows each one of you. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your motives. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. He cherishes you. You're the apple of his eye. Okay? He also destined from the beginning to be molded into the image of his son. And the Amplified says, and to share inwardly his likeness. He's given you the ability to be like him. When you're like him, you get to receive the same benefits. We are joint heirs with Jesus. What does it mean to be a joint heir? If this table here had an inheritance, would anybody, and you know, you got an amount that could be divided equally, would anybody be left out? No, because you're an heir, because your name is written in the will, you have a legal right to claim what is yours. So you all would get the same benefit because you're joint heirs. Okay? So, he knew you beforehand, and he gave you the ability to be like his son. Verse 30. And those he foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified or made righteous. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. In other words, he causes you to live this life according to a different standard. When we send an ambassador to a foreign country, do they live according to that country's standards? They live according to the standards of the country that sent them, right? The country that sent them pays the bills. The country that sent them provides for them. Now get this. God sent each and every one of us. The Bible even says that we are ambassadors. And so, therefore, heaven has a right to take care of you. But in order to take care of you, he's got to show you some things to help you receive. Okay? So all these things took place before he said that the things that are freely given to you. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 3. What leads to strife or discord or feuds? And how do conflicts or quarrels originate among you? Do they not rise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covet, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder. As far as your heart is concerned, you burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification and contentment and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. So why do some people not receive? Because they don't ask. Why don't they ask? Maybe they lack confidence. Maybe they don't know what to ask for. Maybe they don't know what's theirs. You know, if you needed money and you knew that I didn't have any money, would you ask me for money? No, because you knew that I wouldn't have any. But if you knew that I had money, would you ask me for money if you needed it? Some may, I don't know. He goes on to say, you do ask, and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. So part of receiving is asking. What does the Bible say? Ask and what? Did it say you might receive? Did it say hope to receive? It said, you shall. Is that a pretty positive statement? Okay. You know the story of the prodigal son? There were two brothers in the same house. Both had access to the father's wealth, right? And the one son, the younger son, what did he do? He said, Dad, I want my inheritance. What did the father do? He gave it to him. The younger son, even though it wasn't his time, he knew how to access what was his. And the father gave it to him, knowing full well how he was going to spend it. The father didn't put any stipulation on him giving his inheritance. Okay, now I want you to be wise in taking care of your inheritance. Spend it wisely. He just gave it to him. That is the nature of God. He just gives. He gives. Okay? So we know from the story, and I would turn to it, but I don't have time. We know from the story that he went out and he spent his money on riotous living. He was a partier, man, and he would go out, he would go to concerts, he would go to clubs, he would do all that stuff, and as long as he had money, he had friends, right? But what happened when his money ran out? So did his friends run out. They weren't really friends. They were friends of the Benjamins, but not of the prodigal. Okay, so he ends up in the pig pen and he cries out, you know, his eyes are open, he comes to his senses and he comes back home and the father is there waiting for him with open arms. Notice the father gave him the money and the father knew how he was going to spend it, but the father didn't criticize him when he comes home. That's God. He's not going to criticize you when you come home. He'll welcome you with open arms. But now there was another son in the house, and he got jealous. When, When the prodigal son came home, he got jealous because the father killed the fatted calf. He threw a party. He put a robe on him and a ring on him. He restored his fellowship. And the son who was in the house got indignant, even though he had the same access to the goods as the younger son did, but he didn't know how to receive. And he got jealous. And he said, how come you never threw a party? And the father says, you could have had a party any time. The stuff was, you had access to the same stuff. What was the difference? The prodigal just simply asked, I want my inheritance, and the father gave it to him. The prodigal must have had knowledge that that inheritance was his. He probably told his friends, yeah, you know, when my father dies, I'm going to inherit this amount. He had some ideas of his father's business. But how come the one who was there, who was with the father every day, he didn't know how to access what was his? And because the younger person asked, the older one got jealous because he just wasted it away. He had the same access. But isn't that like with a lot of Christians? How come they're so blessed and I'm not? Well, maybe it's because of your little attitude. That might be a clue there. Did you know that your attitude will affect your receiving? Oh, yeah. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A very familiar passage of scripture for many. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful, be anxious for nothing. Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Say, have no anxiety. Don't have anxiety about your bills. Don't have anxiety about your future. Don't have anxiety about tomorrow. You're not to have any anxiety about anything. Is that right? But in every circumstance and in everything, say everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests. Oh. See, when you know your Father God, and you know that he is able to act on your behalf anytime that you want him to, anytime that you call upon him, he said, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. You're talking about how to access, how to receive from heaven. Okay? But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to who? To God. There must be some kind of relationship there that causes you to come to God and make your request known to him. Notice it didn't say call your neighbor. Make your request known to your neighbor. Call your parents. Call your friend. No. Talk to God. You want to know how to receive from heaven? Go directly to the source. Go by the spout where the glory comes out. What's going to happen when you do that? And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its early lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you turn to God, he's going to give you something that will help you. It's talking about peace. It's talking about If you're anxious for anything, that's going to hinder your receiving. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Chill out. And then he says, verse 8, he's not done because he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Thinking, your thinking could hinder your receiving. If you're thinking on the wrong thing. Did you see those giants? We are like grasshoppers in their sight. We are like grasshoppers in our sight. I'm a little grasshopper. They probably did a grasshopper song. I'm a grasshopper. What happened? They were supposed to receive a land flowing with milk and honey, but because they were thinking about the giants, they did not receive what God wanted them to have. He said, I have given you the land flowing with milk and honey. I have given it to you. It's yours. All you got to do is take it. All you got to do is receive it. But I can't because I'm a grasshopper. Grasshoppers can't receive. That's exactly right. Two said, we are well able to take the land. What happened? Those were the ones who possessed it. Those were the ones who received from God. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. Man, I got so much stuff. The Lord's helping me get out what I need to get out. Mark chapter 10. You know, to receive, you've got to have some courage and some boldness and some fire and some passion. All right? And let's go down to verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. How successful was he at begging? He couldn't do anything else. All he could do is sit by the wayside begging. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. Help me. Please help me. Help me. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He changed from begging. He started crying out to God. Now he's sitting down. He's blind. All he could do is hear. He could listen. He heard the reports. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he seized the opportunity. This opportunity could have passed him by. His ability to receive could have passed him by. And many, verse 48, many charged him that he should hold the peace. Hey, blind man, be quiet. Tell that blind man to be quiet. He's too loud. Man, Bartimaeus would have had a lawsuit today. That would have been discrimination. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. Yeah, if you listen to the voice of many, you're going to miss your opportunity to receive. But he cried the more a great deal. Go on, Bartimaeus, come on, show him. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I want you to notice something. Begging didn't get Jesus' attention, but his crying out did. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. I love this because the very ones that had told him to shut up had to come and bring him to Jesus. Ooh, I love that. and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calls thee. And he casting away his garment. There might be some things that you need to give up in order to receive. Why? Because the things that you're holding on to, you got to make room to receive something new. You got to do away with the old way of thinking. You got to put off your old way of speaking. You got to put off your old way of living in order to make room for something new. Listen, if you knew it was going to rain, would you take an umbrella? If you had an umbrella? I mean, umbrellas are okay. I like the rain for the most part, but there are some days where I would like to have an umbrella. And I would take an umbrella with me if I knew it was going to rain. Bartimaeus knew he was going to receive because he made room for it. He took off his old, he put away his outer garment. And he came to Jesus. He came to the source. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, What will you that I should do unto you? In other words, he said, What do you want me to do for you now? He could have received anything at that moment. But he came to get the one thing that he wanted to receive. He said, That I might receive my sight. Receive my sight. How can a blind man receive sight when he can stop acting and talking like a blind man and start acting and talking like a seeing man? Something changed in Bartimaeus when he heard that Jesus went by. What does Jesus represent? He represents the Word. He heard the Word. And he said, That is for me. And I'm getting it, and I'm not going to let anything or anyone stop me. Say that. Say, I'm not going to let anything or anyone stop me from receiving what I've come to get. You got to have that attitude if you want to receive. Jesus is one to be sought after. But too many people want to just put it in automatic and autopilot. And they want to sit there, not do anything. And then at the end they say, Well, I didn't get nothing. Well, yeah, you didn't do nothing either. You get what you sow. Man, I just don't have enough to pay my bills. Well, you better check on your giving. You got enough seed in the ground? He said that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go your way, your faith has made you whole. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Man, he was a receiver. Life put him in the wrong position. He was blind, but he didn't accept what life had to offer. He said, There is something better, there is something more. And you know what? Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, so when Jesus walked by, the Holy Spirit got on Bartimaeus and said, He's your ticket. You better catch your bus. Now, Bartimaeus could have sat there and done nothing, and he still would have been blind, but he didn't. He seized his opportunity, and he became a receiver. He got aggressive. Jesus said, What do you want me to do? You know, my friend years ago shared this with me about this story. Remember that game show, Name That Tune? Jesus basically said to Bartimaeus, Name your miracle. What do you want me to do? What do you want? He had Jesus' full attention. See, you got to get, if you want to receive from God, you got to get into a place where you're literally in the face of Jesus. You got to press in. Why? Jesus already gave you. He already gave Bartimaeus sight. Jesus already said, he said, I've come to set the captive free. I've come to open blind eyes. He already came to do that. That was already given to Bartimaeus, but Bartimaeus just went after it. He set himself above that crowd that was with Jesus. Think about it. This blind man's crying out, and they're telling him to be quiet. I bet no one that told Bartimaeus to be quiet was a receiver. They were just an observer. They were just looking on the outside, looking from the outside, looking in. I bet what Bartimaeus was doing blew their mind. See, because they had a religious mindset. They were just following Jesus. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? See, they weren't really, they didn't have a relationship with him. They were just wanting to see what was happening. Same thing with the woman with the issue of blood. She was the only one that touched him that caused power to come. Because everybody else had a different mindset. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Don't look at what's going to happen next. Say, I'm going to make something happen. He cried out. Even when they told him to be quiet, he cried out louder. Oh, yeah, you cannot keep me from receiving what's mine. I'm going to get it. And he got it. He did not go away empty-handed because he was a receiver. If you have a desire, when you pray, believe you receive. Too many people, when people need a miracle, they don't believe that they receive. Let's just take healing for example. God is going to heal me. Oh, God is going to heal me. God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me. When are they going to believe they receive? When is the going going to be gone? When is the going going to be coming? Do you see what I'm saying? You got to believe you receive. Receiving. The word receive is mentioned 122 times in the New Testament. In 27 books, it's mentioned 122 times. Think about that. We have the ability to receive from God whatever it is you need. It's up to you. It's already yours. It's like the man who was at the pool of Bethesda. 38 years he was lame. He was waiting for someone to put him into the pool because at a certain time of the year, an angel would come down and stir the waters. And everybody who stepped in the water when the water was stirred would get healed. And he would try to make it, but someone would always step in before him. But you know what? He didn't need to get into the water. He just needed to come in contact with Jesus. Jesus came to him, said, do you want to be made well? Yeah, he said, but every time I try to get in, I can't get in. Jesus said, pick up your mat and go. He didn't even have to get in the water. For 38 years, he was trying for people to do it for him. Don't wait for people to do it for you. Go ahead, come and get it. I'm going to ring the dinner bell. Ding, 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 ding. Come and get it. When you're working outdoors and you hear the dinner bell, you're going to see me sprint to that door, brother. When that dinner bell rings, I'm not going to be late. Because I'm a receiver. You got to be a receiver. How to receive from God. I got more to share, but I don't have time. But I want you to take a moment right now. And I want you to see some things that you need to receive from God. And I want you to make an adjustment in your mind right now. Just check your heart. See if there's areas that you have been negative in. Change the way you think about it. Don't talk about the problem, talk about the answer. And just make that adjustment in your heart right now. Because whom God did not withhold his only son, how shall he not also with him freely give you all things? God wants you to have things. He wants you to have everything that He wants, everything that He has. He wants you to have the love that you need. Too many people look for love in all the wrong places. That's why they haven't found it. He wants you to have the joy. He wants you to enjoy life. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You want abundant life? It's there. Come and get it. You want healing? It's there. Come and get it. Receive it. Anything that you need, it's there. It's a buffet. Every day is a buffet in the Word of God that you can come and get anything that you need. The Lord is my shepherd, David said, and I shall not want. Why? His shepherd was so good that he met all of his desires. God is a good God. We need to say God is a good God. He is an awesome God. He loves you so much. He's got your best interest at heart. But you just got to go after it. Don't be like that prodigal's brother. Say, how come he got it and I didn't? Because you didn't do anything. All you're doing is whining and complaining. God doesn't listen to whiners and complainers. Just ask the Israelites in the wilderness. When they started to grumble, snakes came in. Begging, whining, complaining, that's not faith. But positive speaking, confidence, fully persuaded, that's faith. Amen? So, say this. Say, I am a receiver. I come before the throne and I receive all that I need, all that I want, and all that I desire. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you want more of God, why don't you take a step and come closer? How many people you ever hear say, oh, I want more of God. I want more of God. Okay, now do something with your want. Make a believer out of me about how you really want it. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.